Just as you are before your God, come. Come now is the time. Come now is the time to worship. Come now is the time to give your hearts. Come. Just as you are to worship, come. Just as you are before your God, come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee shall bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your hearts. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God.
My God, took the broken, made it.
my failures, speaks forgiveness, gives me strength to try again. My God takes the broken and makes me whole.
Amen. As we prepare our hearts to worship, friends, let's just sing one more together as a prayer that Jesus might be at the very center of all that we do this morning together.
Good morning, and it's a pleasure to welcome you all to this circuit celebration this morning. We're gathered as God's family in God's house today. We're here to bring our praise and worship to him, and it's a pleasure to welcome David Perry among us this morning. Shall we give him a welcome? I've been told with David it's better to clap and welcome him before the sermon, as you're often struggling at the end of it. Just a few things I need to draw to your attention. If Richard Clifton hasn't already grabbed a member of your church about prayer handbooks, you need to see him, because he's going to place an order on behalf of the circuit. So if your church normally orders prayer handbooks through the circuit, then make sure you've seen Richard today, please. There is tea and coffee. There will be after the service, so please, if you're able to stay around for refreshments, it'd be lovely to have a chat together. When we come to take communion today, we're going to try and do three stations. There'll be communion stewards who'll guide you out, but we're going to have a station down here, a station over there, and then one upstairs. And so we're just going to rely on people's common sense please, just to try and make sure that it's as flowing as possible. But you'll come forward, receive bread and wine, and then return to your seat. So that's later on in the service. Let's just be still for a moment. The psalmist says, "Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always." Let's stand together and sing to the Lord a joyful song.
We're going to continue in worship as we share together a prayer of praise and thanksgiving, and then a prayer of confession. We're going to start with lots of short sentences, and after each one, I'd invite you to join me in saying, "Loving God, we bring you our thanks and praise. Loving God, we bring you our thanks and praise." So let us pray. We come together as your people, aware of your great love for the whole creation. Loving God, we bring you our thanks and praise. Our senses enable us to marvel at the beauty of your earth. Loving God, we bring you our thanks and praise. For the signs of the seasons, summer turning towards autumn, loving God, we bring you our thanks and praise. for fields ripe for harvest. Loving God, we bring you our thanks and praise. For gardens and shops full of produce. Loving God, we bring you our thanks and praise. For the rain which waters the earth, and the water which gushes out of our taps. Loving God, we bring you our thanks and praise. Our hearts enable us to catch glimpses of your face in everyone we meet. Loving God, we bring you our thanks and praise. For people all very different, but each one made to be like you. Loving God, we bring you our thanks and praise. For our connectedness as part of the body of Christ, locally, as a circuit and across the world, loving God, we bring you our thanks and praise. For Jesus, your Son, Emmanuel, God with us, loving God, we bring you our thanks and praise. For your Spirit, breathing life into your people, loving God, we bring you our thanks and praise. Amen. Amen. And we continue in prayer. Loving God, we are called to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, to give thanks in all circumstances, to honour you with our whole life and being. But your image within us, which shines with love, which responds to you with passion and praise, is so easily obscured by the dust and grime of our life's journey. So wash us clean, loving God. Forget the sprinkling with gentle showers. Tip a bucket of your forgiveness over us. Tumble us in the waves of your mercy. Drench us in the sea of your love. Then hold us, wrap us round in the shawl of your grace, warm us and name us, and set us back on our feet, facing you, rejoicing on the way, hearing your voice as you say to each of us, "Your sins are forgiven, go in peace." So may we praise you once more. Amen. Thanks be to God.
After that beautiful prayer, what else should we do but bring the very best we can to worship? Let's sing together. We will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord.
We will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For we were made to praise you for your delights. You changed our clothes of mourning to robes of white. No longer slaves of darkness, in the light. Thankful for a life made new, we gladly bring our best to you. We will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For we were made to praise you for your delight. You've changed our clothes of mourning to robes of white. No longer slaves of darkness, we dance in light. Thankful for a life made new, we gladly bring our best to you. We will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord.
Jesus is the name we honor.
Jesus is the name we honor. Jesus is the name we praise. Majestic name above all other names. The highest heaven earth proclaim that Jesus is our God. We will glorify, we will lift him high, we will give him honor and praise. We will glorify, we will lift him high, we will give him honor and praise. Jesus is the name. The kings, let all creation stand and sing that Jesus is our God. We will glorify, we will lift him high, we will give him honor and praise. We will glorify, we will lift him high, we will give him honor and praise. Father's joy. He will return to reign in majesty, and every eye and life shall see that Jesus is our God. We will glorify, we will live in high, we will give him honor and praise. We will glorify, we will live in high, we will give him honor and praise.
Champion, and you reign, you reign. Oh,
overrun. I long to be where the praise is never ending, yearn to dwell where the glory never fades, where countless worshippers will share one song, and cries of worthy will honor the Lamb. Beautiful Savior, wonderful Counselor, both in majesty, Lord of history, you're the way, the truth, the life, Star of the morning, glorious in holiness, you're the risen one, heaven's champion, and you reign, you reign.
I'm just going to invite Peter Ford now just to share with us what's happening with the children this morning.
Whose phone was that? It's not mine for once, it's actually switched off. Right, before I do that, I just wanted to do a quick advert. Burton Road has a group called Questions, which we're opening up to the whole circuit, and I'm really hoping there's going to be a big response. We have a project we run at the moment called Questions. Now, I don't know how you feel about answering teenage questions. You may feel blessed, you may feel excited with the prospect, but sometimes we get filled with dread with the idea of actually trying to find some kind of sensible answer to what sometimes can be very interesting questions. And sometimes are actually very good questions, and questions I have myself. So we have a group called Questions where you're allowed to come along and ask anything you like. It's for 11s and ups. If we're doing any very interesting subjects, we sometimes split into age-relevant groups, so it's not too scary for the little ones. The idea is just that they're allowed to come and ask anything at all. Absolutely free, ask anything at all. So that's on the second, on the first and third Sundays every month at Burton Road, and it runs from 7 till 8:30 p.m. We'd love you to come. If you're interested, even vaguely, come and see me at the end. I'll give you a poster for your church and some little handouts for the kids. Now, what's happening with the children's work this morning is anybody under the age of 5 will need to be accompanied by an adult. Okay, anybody under the age of 5 will need to be accompanied by an adult for the creche. And anybody over the age of 5 can come out without an adult. And we've got leaders for them. Now, when we get through there, we'll look at how many people, how many parents we've got, and we'll see if we can release a few of you to come back here and hear the message through here. But the rest of us will go out and we'll split into 3 groups. There's the under 5's creche, there's over 5's up to the age of the end of junior school, and then there's secondary school children. So anybody wants to come out, come out. I would suggest if you're over the age of 14, you really ought to be staying in here, because you'll get something great. You get something great out there too, I hope, as well. So bless you, and when we go out, we'll be going into those groups. Thank you.
Father, thank you that we are indeed a family as we're gathered here today, and we thank you in particular for the young members of our family. And we pray now your blessing on them as they go to learn more of you in their groups. And we pray for their leaders, Lord. Anoint them with the words that you have to say to those children today. So we ask your blessing on them in their groups, and we look forward to sharing your special meal together at the end of our worship. In the name of Jesus, amen.
The first reading this morning is taken from James chapter 1, and I'm reading from verses 22 to 27. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you're a listener when you're anything but, letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are, what they look like. But whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out the corner of his eye, and sticks with it, is no distracted scatterbrain, but a man or a woman of action. That person will find delight and affirmation in the action. Anyone who sets himself up as religious by taking a good game is self-deceived. This kind of religion is hot air, and only hot air. Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: reach out to the homelessness and loveless in their plight, and guard against corruption from the godless world. Amen.
Greetings, friends. I come from a far-off country to bring you the gospel reading today. Well, the balcony. The reading from the gospel is always a gospel of grace, but not always a gospel of comfort. And we're reading from Mark chapter 7 in the New Living Translation, verses 1 to 16, then 24 to 30. Two separate stories, beginning with one where Jesus teaches about inner purity. One day, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. They noticed that some of his disciples failed to follow the Jewish ritual of hand washing before eating. The Jews, especially the Pharisees, do not eat until they have poured water over their cupped hands as required by their ancient traditions. Similarly, they don't eat anything from the market until they've immersed their hands in water. This is but one of many traditions they have clung to, such as their ceremonial washing of cups, pitchers, kettles. So, the Pharisees and teachers of religious law asked him, "Why don't your disciples follow our age-old tradition? They eat without first performing the hand-washing ceremony." Jesus replied, "You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. For he wrote, 'These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. If you ignore God's law and substitute your own tradition.' Then he said, 'You skillfully sidestep God's law in order to hold on to your traditions. For instance, Moses gave you this law from God: honour your father and mother. And anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. But you say it's all right for people to say to their parents, "Sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you." In this way, you let them disregard their needy parents, and so you cancel the word of God in order to hand down to them your own tradition. And this is only one example amongst many others. Then Jesus called to the crowd to come and hear. "All of you listen," he said. "Try to understand. It is not what goes into your body that defiles you. You are defiled by what comes from your heart." Continuing the reading at verse 24, the faith of a Gentile woman. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre. He didn't want anyone to know which house he was staying in, but he couldn't keep it a secret. Right away, a woman who had heard about him came and fell at his feet. Her little girl was possessed by an evil spirit, and she begged him to cast out the demon from her daughter. Since she was a Gentile, born in Syrian Phoenicia, Jesus told her, "First, I should feed the children, my own family, the Jews." She replied, It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. She replied, That's true, Lord. But even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat the scraps from the children's plates. Good answer, he said. Now, go home, for the demon has left your daughter. And when she arrived home, she found her little girl lying quietly in bed, and the demon was gone. May God bring his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
God is love, and those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Amen. Good morning, everybody. It's a real treat for me to be here in Lincoln North. I love coming to worship in Lincoln North with you, and to bring you the love and the best wishes of your sisters and brothers in the Methodist Lincoln and Grimsby district. Some of you may be thinking, well, that Perry, he's really crafty. He's brought the welcome service he preached four times last week, and he's given it to us this morning. What a cheek. Well, of course, you're absolutely right and very astute. But the cunning plan in doing that was to choose the gospel reading from last week and this week, so I can legitimately get away with it. And not only get away with it, but actually, hopefully, we can all be enthused by how the gospel challenges us. Because those two very different readings illuminate each other. And we need the one to make sense of the other. Now, hopefully you've all got sight of one of these little sheets. Yeah, everybody got one? Okay, well, we're going to start on this side, which says barriers and bridges, and we're going to go back to the beginning of that gospel reading, and you've got it on the sheet just here. Now, this is the moment at which the chair of district and district officers come into the Lincoln North circuit, and it's a sort of what happens next moment, because here you've got the paid religious professionals turning up in the local context, and they're meeting the disciples for the first time. Okay? They've not met them before. It's the first time. And look what happens when the paid religious professionals turn up. What do? They look at what the disciples are not. And the first thing they do is criticize them. It's unbelievable that anybody with a heart for God would start in that place. But just look. Oh, we don't do it like that here, the nose. We do it like this. Now, I've never understood quite why I always lapse into a Yorkshire accent. It's probably the only one that I can do. And I've certainly not learned Lincolnshire in 9 years of trying. But you get the impression. The religious professionals who do church only see things in one way, and everything and everybody has to fit into that way of looking. And Jesus comes right back at them. Doesn't take a breath. When the disciples are criticized, as it were, for not doing church as we've always done church, Jesus comes straight back, and just notice which word it is he uses when he gets back at them. Time and time again in this passage, Jesus is criticizing them for being so stuck to tradition that they've lost sight of the gospel. And these guys, these paid religious professionals like me, have lost sight utterly of what God actually is all about, and who God loves, and what God intends. And the tradition has become a barrier, not a blessing. And that's what Jesus is talking about. The tradition actually has now got in the way of those who need to know what God is like, knowing that for themselves, at the heart of their own lives. And of course, in the Old Testament, God is a God of mercy, of justice, and of loving kindness. The message of the prophets has that like a litany shot through everything they say. God, we have to remember, we are told in the prophets and the Psalms, is a God of mercy, justice, and loving kindness. And the church is supposed to be like that, be like God for others. And here they get it badly, badly wrong. And they see what people are not, rather than seeing them as made in the image of God, who is mercy, justice, and loving kindness. They're more interested in putting up barriers, like the figure on the crossing, saying, don't go. They're more interested in barriers which say, hey, this is ours, this is private land. You don't conform, you can keep out. If you're going to come through here, you've got to be like us. And Jesus has none of it. Which is why I think there is an absolutely poignant irony in that it takes an atheist Marxist to remind the church of what the gospel is all about. And if you look at the top, you'll find a quote from him. It's Professor Terry Eagleton, who's perhaps the foremost academic literary critic in the UK. Terry Eagleton is a Marxist. He's a sort of lapsed Catholic, atheist stroke agnostic, I think. Don't hold me to it. I don't have my observer's book of atheist, Marxist, agnostics with me to look at the pictures, which dates me a bit, I'm afraid. But Terry Eagleton, in this book, Reason, Faith and Revolution, it's a fantastic book because he absolutely takes apart Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens and all these really militant secular atheists there are about. And as one academic to others, he absolutely blows them out of the water, and he writes really accessibly. It's a great read. And what you find Eagleton doing, he has, I think, an incredible passion for the gospel. He doesn't fit in the church mould, and he probably wouldn't touch our traditions with a barge pole dipped in Dettol. But when he reads the Bible, the God he sees in the Bible is a God that excites him. A God of mercy, justice, loving kindness, who transforms the world through those who are passionate about him. And it's precisely because Eagleton doesn't see that in the church and people of faith that he's critical. He's criticising us, sisters and brothers, as an atheist Marxist. He is criticising us as people of faith because we don't believe strongly enough and we don't act passionately enough on the God we meet in the Bible, a God who wants to transform the world. You, me, everybody. Instead, what Eagleton sees is a church that's hung up on religion and tradition at the expense of mission and justice and peace. Who'd have thought a Marxist atheist could be an evangelist? He is, you know. Convinced. Love to meet him. It'd be a fascinating conversation for us to have, wouldn't it? When someone way outside and off our radar sees what we should be and says to us, please be that. The world needs you to be that. Now, I better move on because you're going to want your Sunday lunch, but I get excited about this. Because we then move on to Dave Andrews. Now, Dave Andrews comes from Australia. He's written a chapter in the book Micah's Challenge, The Church's Responsibility to the Global Poor. In the book of Micah, you remember, we're told what God wants. And God says through Micah to you and me, look, I'm not actually that interested in religion. And actually, tradition doesn't float my boat. What I really want is for you to do, do you remember? Do justice, mercy, loving kindness, and walk humbly with me. And Dave Andrews takes that to heart in his chapter, The Practice of Compassion. And he says that if all this is true about God, if all this is true about the fantastic gospel we've got, what we need to do is to be schmoozers and machers. Ah. So what we've got to do is build bridges and bonds to the communities in which we're set so that the gospel comes alive and is experienced. And what Dave Andrews says is that, well, you do this in two ways. Now, the one way, Methodists do really well. If you're going to be a macher, and this is all Yiddish Jewish spirituality, if you're going to be a macher, you set up a committee, you have a working group, you have an agenda, you come back in 3 months' time, you have another working party, and you work in partnership, and it's all very formal and structured, and you have rules and CPD and Lord knows what else. And yes, we need to work in a structured way. We need to work carefully in detail with partners out in our community, don't we? We're going to transform the world. However, much more important than doing that is doing what the Pharisees and religious leaders didn't do, which is schmooze. It's a lovely word. Go and schmooze. Don't you just love Yiddish? The way it sounds gets to what it means. Schmoozing is when actually you have those informal conversations where you simply just take an interest in somebody because they're beloved of God. And in them you meet Jesus face to face. Those informal conversations, those moments when, because they meet you, somebody knows that somebody takes an interest and actually they feel something of God's cherishing of them. These wondrous informal conversations, encounters, the sorts of things, Ian, that are the bread and butter of street pastors. That's what we're talking about. We need to schmooze. We need to break out of our tradition. We have to break out of the way we've always done it with the passion of the gospel and reconnect with the generations we've lost. It's the gospel, it ain't me. And it's here in black and white. And we've got a challenge from an atheist, Marxist, agnostic, try saying that at the end of this service. But that's what it's about. We need to reconnect and to schmooze and to incarnate the gospel. And it's Alan Hirsch in his book, The Forgotten Ways. What a title, The Forgotten Ways. Again, getting back to the point that we're exploring here, that we have forgotten how really to passionately embody the gospel, so that it transforms the world around us. In The Forgotten Ways, Alan Hirsch comes back to something which is one of the crown jewels of Methodism. Alan Hirsch says we should be schmoozing, we should be maching, we should be breaking out of tradition, we should be remembering what our faith is all about, because actually it's about prevenient grace. God is already at work in people's lives. And when we schmooze, we're discovering what God is up to in their lives. You don't have to conform or do what we've always done in order to know that. God is out there alongside, within, and through people already. Our task as church is to go and listen and find out what God's up to. So we turn it over, and I think that's why James challenges the church of our time. Challenges us to act on what we hear. Because in this passage from James, there is this fantastic affirmation that God's word is active in the whole of life, in every life, in the whole of the world. There is nowhere that God isn't. And God's living word, says James, is at work. And our task is to listen for it. Our task is to be keenly aware of what God's doing at the heart of our communities and to put ourselves there. and discover what God's doing. And sometimes that comes as a shock to us because we think, actually, it's only within the box we call church that things happen. No, of course not. God is the God of creation. And James is encouraging us to get out into the heart of life and listen to what God's living word of love in Jesus is doing, and where Jesus is standing, and with whom he is standing, and to act on what we hear. Listen to the living gospel. And notice James criticizes the religious people in the same way that Jesus did. It's not about talking a good game or having a wonderfully shiny, slick stationing profile. It's actually about the reality matching the truth of God's love. Reach out to the homeless and loveless in their plight is the name of the game for God, because it always has been. That is the heart of our tradition. Not a five hymn sandwich. Not five Charles Wesley or whatever else it might be, or Stuart Townend or whatever. The heart of our tradition is the living word of God at work in the world. Which is why I've given you the Edwin Hopper picture. If you're a fan of Jack Vetriano, anybody like Jack Vetriano's art? You'll like Edwin Hopper, because he was painting it years before Vetriano adopted that sort of style. And this is a painting of a New York movie theatre painted just before the Second World War. And Alan de Botton, in his book On the Pleasures and Sorrows of Work, uses that image. And he uses the image to show how easily we overlook and don't see and don't listen and don't notice and don't give good attention to those around us, and we miss what God is up to. And here you have the usherette, the young blonde usherette, standing to the right of frame. And there in the cinema, everybody else is looking at the screen. They're occupied with what they're there to do, and they miss the most important person in the frame, because she's not in their frame, but she's in the artist's frame. And it took Hopper, the artist, to show us what matters most and where the priority is. And doesn't that speak to us as church? We can be so preoccupied with what's right in front of us, we fail to listen to and to see those who are standing in God's love light, those who are cherished, those about whom God is passionate. And God calls us to see them, to listen, and to act. That's why Jesus said what he said about tradition. Which brings us finally to the gospel here. And another woman who is not seen. Another woman who doesn't do it like we do it. A woman whose face doesn't fit. A woman who does not belong, a woman who is overlooked, a woman in nobody's religious frame. And she is the one, the person way beyond church and religion, who, like Eagleton, knows in her bones and in the depth of her heart what the love of God should be about and is about. And she comes, and in this moment, here, in this passage, in the gospel, we see for once and for all time and eternity, that there are no barriers to God's love. No one is left out ever. All are included because all stand in the love light of God. And in this moment, that exclusive, barriered religious system that the Pharisees tried to put in front of Jesus is shattered, because he knows that's how she sees it. The living word is active in her actions, and Jesus knows. At the end of that passage, he says, good answer, you've got it. Like Eagleton, you understand. Gospel limit, no barriers, but bridges. And our church and our denomination is a beautiful thing, don't hear me wrong. It's a bit like that gorgeous bridge in Bradwell in the Peak District, if you know it. It's a medieval bridge. It's really sweet, you know, it's very photogenic. But if you go around the other side of it, you see this dirty great sign which says Wheat Bridge. Anything over 7.5 tons, you ain't going to get across. In other words, it can no longer carry the weight of everything that needs to go across it, joining one half of the community to the other. Don't let our faith and our tradition leave us like a weak bridge, sisters and brothers. God is doing great things, and God's love, the whole weight of it, wants to cross the bridge out into our communities. And it's up to you and to me to make sure the barriers are torn down and that the tradition is that of mercy, loving kindness and justice as we act on what we hear. To God, this God, be the glory.
See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy which depends on human tradition and on the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Father God, we thank you for this word you have brought through David this morning. We want to respond to that now. Father, we pray that you would forgive us if as a circuit we have depended on human tradition rather than on focusing on your Son Jesus Christ. Forgive us, Lord, where we have put our traditions and our way of doing things in front of the truth and the power of the gospel. Father God, we thank you that your gospel has power. We thank you, Father God, that when we step out in faith, you honour that. We thank you, Father God, for the people who are coming under the sound of the gospel, who have been waiting their lives for Christians to get to them with boldness, with faith. Father, we pray that you would enable us to be strong bridges of your gospel. We thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in us and through us. We pray, O God, your blessing on each venture that we make for you. Father, we thank you for the work of the street pastors. We thank you for the work of the God Pod. We thank you, Lord, for the emerging churches. We thank you, Father, for each and every Alpha course, for each Bible study group. And we thank you, Father, that you are answering our prayers. We thank you, Lord, that you are speaking into our situation. We thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for lives being set free. We thank you, Lord, for people's bodies being healed. We thank you, Lord, that your word is true. And we ask, O God, that you would enable us as your people to continue to look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So thank you, Lord God, for all that you have in store for us. Thank you for the way you spoken to us recently. Thank you for meeting with us on Friday night as we sought you together. Thank you, Lord, for your promise that you've got more work to be done and that you're going to give us a breakthrough in Ermine and the St Giles Estates. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you that you have said that you are going to, that we've moved into various ministries and activities, and that we've asked you to be with us through our prayers. And thank you, Lord, that in grace you have already answered many prayers. There is more answers to prayer that are coming. But now that you are challenging us, because you are moving into new things, and you are inviting us to come with you on that journey. So, Lord, we're asking you, you would reveal your intentions for the communities that we seek to serve. But, Lord, you'd help us to attach ourselves to your purposes and move on with you. Thank you, Lord, that you have much more to do and to achieve through your church. Lord, we know and acknowledge that the church is your idea. And we praise you, Lord God, for all that you have in store for us. You are the God of hope. Thank you for the gospel. We pray, O God, as your people in this place, you would enable us to spread scriptural holiness through the preaching of the gospel. Thank you, Lord, for the huge potential that you've put within us. And thank you, Lord, as we lay aside our preconceived ideas and traditions and the old ways and look to you, you will do amazing things even through us. And we will give you all the glory and all the honour. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to take up the offering now, and it's going to be for the work amongst our young people in the circuit. Thank you. together. Our next hymn, Lord, we have come at your own invitation.
Of one another.
because you are doing this as a body. The body of Christ here gathered to eat with him. When Jesus broke the bread, did he break a little bit off to each of the disciples and say, "This is my body broken for you"? He didn't, did he? He broke the bread once. "This is my body broken for you." The English language falls down because we don't know whether "you" is singular or plural. But in this case, it's plural. "This is my body broken for you." All of you together. "This is my blood of the new covenant." Now, did God make a covenant with one person? Or did God make a covenant with the whole of the body of Christ? "This is my blood which is shed for you." And not just for individuals. I'm going to ask you to sing a lovely golden oldie, one which Arthur Hudson, I know, I don't know if Arthur's here, but Arthur would know it well. An old Cliff College one. You remember the old Cliff College chorus books? When they were the modern songs of the day? "Only a Boy Called David." You remember "Only a Boy Called David"? Well, we're not singing that. "Let the beauty of Jesus be seen." We've changed it from "me" to "us." To "us." So we can emphasize that we come together to the table of the Lord. Can we sing that now, please? Do you know it? Are you old enough?
All the copies of Cliff Choruses have been burnt in our house.
"Let's be singing out all his wonderful passion and purity. Oh, thou Spirit divine, all our nature refine, till the beauty of Jesus be seen in us." Do it again. "Jesus be seen in us, his wonderful passion and purity. All our spirit divine, all our nature refine, till the beauty of Jesus be seen." To dwell with the Lord forever and to gaze upon his beauty. We gather to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, the selfless giving of God that has enabled us to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And as we gaze on his beauty, then his beauty transforms us and we become like him. Going to ask you some questions. So that you are like, becoming more into his likeness, more into his beauty, are you prepared to set your hearts on things above? Yes. Just yes or no. Mostly yes, I think, but sin is disobedience. Sin is when we disobey God. Sin is when we propel ourselves forward in place of God. Are you sorry for your sins? Will you turn away from them? Then your sins are forgiven. Forgiven and forgotten. There's only you remember your sins because God forgets them. And if I ask these next questions in the plural, not to you as individuals, but to your churches, to the circuit, to the district even. Will you allow the Holy Spirit access to every part of your lives together? Will you love the Lord your God with every part of your whole being? Will you love your neighbor as yourselves? We ask that one again. And will you love your neighbor as yourselves? Know that God loves you. Know that God loves your church. Know that God loves the circuit. Know that God loves your fellowship group. God loves us. God will send his Spirit among us. God does not give his gifts of his Spirit to individuals. But be sure that God will give his gifts of his Spirit to our churches, to our fellowship groups, to our circuit. God is with us. Corinthians 11, 23-26. Sorry, the print on the book seems to be getting smaller by the moment. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The same way after supper he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The body of Christ was broken for us. The blood of Christ was shed for us. Be aware of one another as we share together. Those who will, man and woman, the stations, will come and share with me first. Body of Christ is broken for us. us rejoice as we share together the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Two people standing down there with the bread and the wine, two down there. One couple will ascend on high. If you come and perhaps make sure there are about six people in each queue, six people at a time, and then on to the back of the queue.
Stubborn hearts, our need of grace. But even so, at God's own banquet, still we find a place. We share the bread, the wine that frees us, this love that breaks the chains of death. No richer feast in all creation, poured with Christ's own breath. Out to the garden, Lord, you lead us. Instructions clear to watch and pray. Will you return to find us sleeping? Will we fall away? We see with resurrection hindsight, yet still we fear and doubt your plan. Like other friends who in that moment panicked, broke and ran. We share this meal as you commanded, and find your words of life are true. Imperfect friends and poor disciples, healed and held by you. We crave your restless, loving spirit to mend our lives and slowly start to bring us near the longed-for wholeness of the Father's heart. like a tree that's planted by the water's edge, I will draw my strength from you. When the wind blows and the land is dark, then your love will bring me through. Like a tree that's planted by the water's edge, I will draw my strength from you. Here I will stand, come what may, morning and evening, sunshine and rain, joy or pain, laughing or weeping, come what may, here I will stand. Like a tree that's planted by the water's edge, I will draw my strength from you. When the wind blows and the land is dark, then your love will bring me through. Like a tree that's planted by the water's edge, I will draw my strength from you. Giver of life, hold me fast. Let me rest in you, close to your heart. Dry my tears, keeper and healer, hold me fast, giver of life. And stronghold, High King of Heaven, Morning Star, name above all names, Lord of Hosts, mighty are you. Like a tree that's planted by the water's edge, I will draw my strength from you. When the wind blows and the land is dark, then your love will bring me through. Like a tree that's planted by the water's edge, I will draw my strength from you. Thank you.
together. Don't close your eyes. Don't bow your heads. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I think we come to our next hymn. I haven't a clue what it is, so it'll be a surprise. Now may God be blessed in us. May we be blessed in him. May we be light. May we be leaven. That our communities are blessed by God through us and drawn to him, to love and to worship him. In the name of Jesus. Amen.